You want to know where I am right now? I'm way out past the vintage rose, past the warbirds, out where the pavement runs thin and the grass takes over, and I'm standing in front of a tire that comes up to my chest. I'm not kidding. This tire is taller than I am tall, and it is soft, and it is fat, and it is beautiful. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Ramp, and this is Ramp Check, coming to you live from Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, day after day of this glorious madness we call AirVenture. And today I found my people. I found the backcountry row. You have to see this. Let me take you there. So the crowds, the big crowds, they're up on Boeing Plaza. They're lined up along the flight line, waiting for the afternoon show. And that's wonderful. That's the beating heart of this place, but if you walk, if you just keep walking away from the announcer's voice, out toward the north end where the aircraft parking gets a little wilder, you start to notice the airplanes changing. The wheels get bigger, that's the first thing. The wheels just keep getting bigger. And then you round a row and there they are. Dozens of them, wingtip to wingtip. These scrappy, muscular little airplanes sitting up high on tires that look like they belong on a monster truck. Super Cubs, Carbon Cubs, Kit Foxes, Rands, Highlanders, Scouts, airplanes built to land where there is no runway, and every single one of them is riding on a set of Alaskan bush wheels. Now, before I get rolling, let me bring in today's sponsor, because this segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey, first solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story, and walking this row, let me tell you, everybody out here has a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay. The bush wheel, here's the thing that gets me, that giant tire I'm standing next to. It's barely holding any air. You could push your thumb into it. That's the whole trick. That's the secret of the backcountry. An Alaskan bush wheel is a big, oversized, low-pressure tire. Some of these are what the bush guys call the 35s, meaning 35 inches tall. Some run bigger, and they float them at almost nothing for pressure. We're talking single digits, sometimes 5 pounds, 6 pounds of air, where your Cessna 172 might run 28, 30 pounds in the mains. These guys are down where the tire just squishes and swallows the ground. And why? Because when you touch down on a gravel bar in the middle of a river in Idaho, or a rock-strewn ridge, or a sandbar that shows up at low water, that soft tire deforms around the rocks instead of bouncing off them. It soaks up the hits. It rolls over stuff that would fold a normal landing gear in half. This is incredible engineering hiding inside something that just looks like a really big donut. I'm running my hand along the sidewall of one right now, and there's basically no tread. It's smooth, because tread isn't the point out here. Give and float and cushion, that's the point. The company that builds these airframes, Alaska, the folks behind the Alaskan Bushwheel name, they've been perfecting this stuff for years, born out of the actual Alaska bush where the ground truth is unforgiving, and the nearest paved runway might be 100 miles away over the mountains. And here's what I love. These airplanes did not come here on a trailer. They flew here. Most of them flew across the country on those tires. And yeah, big soft tundra tires cost you some cruise speed. They add drag. But these pilots will take the trade every single time. Because the whole point of the airplane is to go where nobody else can go. I just talked to a gentleman, would not give me his last name, just said call him Denny. Flew in from western Montana, 2.5 days of flying to get here, camping under the wing. And I asked him, Denny, what's the smallest strip you've ever put this thing into? And he just kind of laughs and looks off and goes, oh, well, there's this one bar on the Salmon River. And then he describes landing on a strip of gravel shorter than the AirVenture parking rows, water on both sides, a bend in the canyon you have to fly around on final. He's grinning the whole time he tells me this. This is a man who is deeply, completely in love with flying. And you meet 100 Dennys out here on this row. Let me back up and set the scene properly, because the sound out here is different too. Up on the main show line, you get the roar, the jets, the big radials. Out here, it's quieter. It's Continentals and Lycomings idling low. It's the flap of a tent. It's guys with the cowling off, heads buried in an engine, coffee going cold on the tire. It's somebody firing up and taxiing out. And when a cub on big tires taxis past you, those soft tires just kind of roll and wobble over the grass, gentle as anything, and the smell, cut grass, AVGS bacon somewhere. Somebody's got a camp stove going. This is aviation camping at its absolute finest, and these people live for this week. Now, why does this matter beyond just being cool? Because the backcountry is where general aviation gets to be pure. No control tower, no class Bravo, just you, an airplane, a chart, and a strip. Somebody's grandfather carved out of the trees 80 years ago. And a lot of those strips are disappearing. Public land access gets squeezed. Old airstrips get abandoned, get grown over, get closed. That's why you'll find not far from where I'm standing the folks from the Recreational Aviation Foundation, and these are the volunteers who literally fight to keep these backcountry strips open and usable. They partner with land agencies, they organize work parties where pilots fly in with shovels and rakes and clear the brush and fill the ruts by hand so the next pilot can land there safely. They have built and rebuilt strips all across the Mountain West. And every one of those pilots out here on Tundra Tires, they know the foundation by name because without those strips, the biggest, softest, prettiest bush wheel in the world has got nowhere to land. Let me tell you about the airplanes themselves for a second, because I'm geeking out and I need you to geek out with me. The Super Cub, the Piper PA-18, this is the airplane that basically wrote the book on backcountry flying. Tandem seating, high wing, big flaps, a wing that just does not want to quit flying. You slow one of these down and it hangs in the air at a crawl. And the modern take, the Carbon Cub from Cub Crafters, it takes that same shape and stuffs it full of light carbon fiber and a big strong engine, and the thing will leap off the ground in a couple hundred feet. Some of these will get airborne in less runway than the wingspan of an airliner. Think about that. These airplanes take off in the length of a tennis court and land in less. That's what all the tire and all the wing and all the power is for short takeoff and landing. What we call STOL, slow, controlled, precise flying, right down on the edge where you plant it on a spot the size of a picnic blanket and stop before the river. And out here, you feel the culture of it. There's a friendly rivalry, guys, comparing notes on gross weight, on stall speed, on how short they can really get it. Somebody's got a home-built Highlander with a paint job like a trout. Somebody else has got a bare aluminum Scout that looks like it's been to the ends of the earth and back, and probably has dents and patches worn like medals. I met a family, mom, dad, two kids, flew in from Wyoming in a four-seat backcountry machine, and the youngest couldn't have been more than seven, is sitting on top of one of those giant tires like it's a chair, feet dangling, eating a sandwich. And I asked the mom, "Is this normal for you guys?" And she says, "This airplane is how we get to the cabin. There's no road. This is the family minivan. It just happens to fly." That's the backcountry. The airplane isn't the hobby. The airplane is the door to the wild place on the other side. Let me talk technique for just a minute because I know some of you listening are sitting there going, "Okay, but how? How do you actually land on a gravel bar?" It comes down to airspeed control and energy. You fly the approach slow, right on the ragged edge, power on, dragging it in behind the power curve where the throttle controls your descent and the stick controls your speed. You come over the threshold, if you can even call it a threshold, at a walking pace of airspeed, and you don't flare and float like you would on a mile of pavement. You plant it, firm, on the spot, and you get on the brakes and the stick and you stop it. Is precision flying at the absolute edge of what the airplane can do? And these Tundra tires, that low pressure, that float, it forgives the surface so the pilot can concentrate on the flying. And the takeoff, full flaps or the right flap setting, tail comes up and you're off before you've had time to think about it, clawing for altitude to clear the trees at the end of the bar. When you watch a good backcountry pilot do it, it doesn't even look real. The airplane just lifts, like it decided the ground was optional. I keep coming back to one thing, walking this row. Every airplane out here is used. I mean, genuinely used. There's mud in the wheel pants. There's a fishing rod strapped inside one of them. There's a dog bed in the back of another. These are not hangar queens polished for the judges. These are working airplanes that flew here to say hello and are going to fly right back out and land somewhere with no name. And that, to me, is the soul of this whole thing. Oshkosh has the shiniest restorations on the planet. It's got the fastest jets, the rarest warbirds, the wildest homebuilts, and it's got this a quiet corner of grass where the tires are enormous and the pilots are sunburned and everybody's got a story about a river bar in Idaho or a ridge in Montana or a beach in Alaska. Denny from Montana, before I left him, I asked one more thing. I said, "Of all the places you've landed this airplane, what's the one that stuck with you?" And he thought about it. And he said, "You know, it's never the landing. It's what's there when you shut the engine off, the quiet. You can't get to that quiet any other way. I'm going to be thinking about that one for a while." My thanks today to the Recreational Aviation Foundation for the work they do keeping these strips alive, to the folks at Airframes Alaska and Alaskan Bushwheel who let me climb all over their display, and to every backcountry pilot on this row who put down their coffee to talk to me. You can find more from all of us over at radiohanger.com. Now, if you'll excuse me, there's a Carbon Cub about to taxi out, and I want to watch those big, soft tires roll one more time. This has been Ramp Check. Go find your gravel bar.